In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Well, sisters, we are at the last Sunday of the 40-day celebration of Holy Pascha. It's kind of a little bit sad that the Paschal season is coming to a close. Of course, we know, though, that what awaits us is continued celebration with the Lord's Ascension this Thursday. We gather in church Wednesday night, Thursday morning to celebrate the Lord ascending from earth to heaven, returning together now with our human nature to the throne of divinity with his Father and the All-Holy Spirit, a throne that in his divine nature he never left. And then 10 days later, we celebrate great and holy Pentecost. So we go from Pascha to the Ascension to Pentecost. Always greater and greater things Christ has in store for us. I was reading this past week from the Discourses of St. Simeon the New Theologian. We talked about him a little bit a couple weeks ago, looked at some of his writings. And I was reading a sermon that he delivered on Bright Monday, the beginning of the Paschal season. And in it, he talks about this great gift of resurrection that Christ bestows upon us. The resurrection of body at the last day, and a resurrection of soul at the moment of our repentance, the time when we turn back to God who is life. And he speaks to us about this twofold resurrection. He says, just as the resurrection of the body happens when the soul goes back into it, and it's recreated, refashioned, and the soul gives life to the body, so too the resurrection of the soul happens when God comes and dwells within the soul. God becomes the life of the soul, and the soul lives this life more abundant, this eternal life. But he says we have to be very careful in our understanding of these matters. He says just as the soul dwells in the body and gives it life, but it is not mingled with it, it cannot be confused with it. So too, when God takes up his abode within the soul, he doesn't mingle himself with us. He's not to be confused with us. We're always to remember that he dwells in us by grace, by gift. We don't become God by nature. So just as we don't confuse our souls with our bodies, we must not confuse the grace of the All-Holy Spirit with ourselves. Even gives us a beautiful image for us to envision this. He says, picture a lantern. And picture that flame that's giving that lantern light. The flame is not the lantern, nor the lantern the flame. They are two distinct things, but they are united. And the lantern even takes upon the properties of this flame, of this light. And it gives off light. Consider these passages from the Lord. He says, I have come as light into the world, so that whoever believes in me should not remain in darkness. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you might become children of light. And then he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As Christians, brothers and sisters, we are gifted to receive the light of Christ within us and to share that light with the world. Not so that they might glorify us, just the opposite, so they may glorify the Father in heaven, the Father of lights, from whom come every good and perfect gift. So first the light illumines us, and then the light illumines the world. And this is our mission as Christians. Sometimes, though it can seem too daunting a task, both to be filled with the light and to share the light. Sometimes we feel like perhaps maybe we're filled more with darkness than with light. In today's Kentuckian, we sang on the Sunday of the Blind Man, "I come to thee, O Christ, blind from birth in my spiritual eyes. Blind from birth in my spiritual eyes. And I call to thee in repentance. Thou art the most radiant light of those in darkness." On this Sunday, we liken ourselves to this blind man. Last night, we even sung the hymn, "A Lord I Call," that said, "I am not content to continue asking whether it is night or day. My feet can no longer endure tripping on the stones. I have seen nothing, neither the sun shining nor the image of my Maker." On this day, we're called to have the humility of the blind man, and not to see ourselves as illumined and enlightened, but as people who are in need of this light, in need of this light of Christ. St. Simeon, when he writes in this sermon for Bright Monday about how the soul can stumble in sin and in darkness, he says, a blind man who hits his foot against the stone feels it, but a dead man does not. A blind man who hits his foot against the stone feels it, but a dead man does not. He says this to encourage us. Because though sometimes we stumble in our own darkness, we trip up in the spiritual life, we harm ourselves and bump into others, knock people over, we feel that pain. We have that spiritual sensitivity because we're still alive spiritually. We're not dead. And we seek that light to illumine us so that we don't sin anymore, so that we don't cause harm to ourselves and to others anymore. If we don't have that kind of frustration in our spiritual life, if we don't have that sensitivity to our sin and how it hurts us and hurts others, perhaps it says we're dead. We're dead spiritually. If our sin doesn't bother us, we're dead. But of course, he says, take good courage, because we have someone who brings resurrection. Even if we are dead, even if we don't care about our sin, our selfishness has become so normative for us that it just doesn't bother us anymore. Even if we're at that low, dark point of spiritual death, Christ can raise us to newness of life. His light can shine on us. And that's, he says, what we celebrate in Pascha. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. The darkness of Hades and our own darkness. Christ comes with his light to illumine us. He comes with his light to resurrect us. St. Porphyrius, he says, if we find ourselves in this deep darkness of sin, he says, do not fight to expel the darkness from the chamber of your soul. Instead, open a tiny aperture, a tiny hole or window for light to enter, and the darkness will disappear. Our way of salvation is not by fighting against evil, but by turning to God who is good. There's no point in punching at the darkness. We run to the embrace of Christ who grants us the victory. And this is, again, the light of Pascha that we celebrate, the light that overcomes everything. On Pascha night, we read about how the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. And we had that great gift of the holy fire that extended to each and every one of us. Remember, the church was made entirely dark. All the lights were dimmed down, the candles extinguished. And it was dark in this church. And we sang that hymn of the resurrection. By resurrection, O Christ our Savior, the angels in heaven sing. Enable us on earth to receive it in purity of heart. And that light came out, and it lit all of our candles. It's that Paschal fire that we keep here on the altar table lit all year round. And in fact, that holy light that is on the altar table, that was brought to us from Jerusalem. When the fire miraculously descends on Pascha Day, you can read about that online. There are books written about it. You can see videos about it. That holy fire was brought here to this temple, and we keep it on the altar table year-round. Some of us even keep it in our homes. And I commend you to do that. And how important, actually, it is for people to do that. Because the light of Christ is preserved in community. We all receive that light. And when we fall into darkness, we're relit by one another, by the grace of God and His church. One time, I was away, actually, and someone with good intention said, make sure all the candles are blown out. And the candles were also blown out on the altar table. And I came back and I said, what? What is going on? That's not supposed to happen. But someone had that holy fire in their home, and we relit the altar table. And that light continues in our community. But that light, that holy fire on the altar table, this is an image of Christ's presence with us. It's not the flame on the altar table, nor the flame in people's homes that really matters. It's the light of Christ, the flame of Christ dwelling within us. This light on the altar table is a reminder of the light that is meant to be in the mind and in the heart, sanctifying, illuminating the whole person, and together us as a community. You know, there was a beautiful homily by St. Nikolai Vinogradovich. It talks about why God uses material things in our salvation. He says, why is it commanded we baptize with water and anoint or chrismate with holy oil and holy myrrh? And why are we communicated with the body and blood of Christ using bread and wine? Why does the Lord use material objects in order to pour out his grace upon us? He asks these questions and then he gives the answer. He says, the Lord does not need material objects, but we do. As long as we are material, we need them. Condescending to our weakness, the Lord uses matter. The incorporeal angels, the bodiless angels, he gives grace in an incorporeal and a spiritual manner. For us who are both body and soul, God uses material things to impart to us his spiritual grace, so that we might be sanctified both in soul and in body. This light that we carry here is a reminder of that, this holy paschal fire. And as we leave this paschal season, and as we celebrate the Ascension and we look to Pentecost, we look to be renewed in that fire of divinity. St. Simeon gave us this image of the lamp, and he says, we're lamps. We're meant to be filled with the divine flame. Well, what was it that descended upon the holy disciples? Were then made to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit. And how did the Holy Spirit appear? Tongues of fire, right? That fire of divinity that would live in their souls. That light of Christ that would illumine them and sanctify them, that they would then bring out into all of the world so that we might glorify the Father of lights. In just 2 weeks, we'll gather here again on the day of Pentecost. And we'll ask God to make that descent upon us individually and collectively on this church to renew us in the light of Christ so that we might, through him, be illumined and we might, through him, carry that light into the world. And sisters, these are highly festive times. Rejoice in all the celebrations that the Lord gives to us, be filled with that light and that life of God Himself. Christ is risen.
Indeed, He is present.